Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
I'm going to just make note of something that's been on my mind. And the last 2 days have strengthened in my mind, in my heart, the purpose of God, and that it is here and will be here, and God is a God of purpose. The word plan is not in the Bible. Purpose is many times. But if we turn back, just thinking of the times we live in, that's been mentioned a lot this week. We go back to the 6th chapter of Genesis, we find the time that Noah was alive, that God repented. That means it sorrowed him at his heart that he created man upon the face of the earth. Well, the condition of man at that time was that the imaginations of his heart was only evil continually. There were no good thoughts. There were no godly thoughts. Everything in man's nature, everything in man's heart, everything man thought and did and acted upon was evil continually. Evil as being wicked, and evil as meaning turmoil and bringing forth destruction and perdition. And God destroyed everything that had the breath of life in it from off the face of the earth. There was a deliverance in that time. We find in Scripture over and over again that God lets things go so far and God will deliver his people, whether it was the bondage of Babylon, whether it was the murder of his children. We see the Egyptians slaying the Hebrew children. They were killing children. They were killing children. They were killing children. And God sent them a deliverer. We find the time of Herod, when Christ was born and Herod was killing the young children and killing them from 2 years old and down. A time, the Bible says, Rachel weeping for her children. And yet, in that darkness, God sent them a deliverer who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I say that to make this point of man's thoughts being only evil continually. They are killing children, 3,000 a day in this age in which we live, in this nation, which is still the best nation in the world. This nation that God has blessed because his church has been here all this time, that this nation has been founded, and they're killing children. It could be God is about to send a deliverance. God could deliver this nation back to repentance, or God's Son may appear in the eastern sky and give us a greater, matter of fact, the greatest deliverance. But we live here, and this is a nation that God has blessed because it has been a place to seek God, where God's children, as we've discovered with Linda Research and her family, they came here. They came from Germany to England. They came from England here in order to have a place, to have freedom, to worship God scripturally and not under the rule of the Church of England and false doctrine. And God bless that. But this church dwindles. The church seems to be hurting. The church seems to be dying. Brother Coker mentioned associations. None of them are as strong in church numbers, as far as numbers of churches in association. Flint River had 17. They're now down to 3. The Mount Zion has lost many. Wetumpka. Churches closing doors. Church membership dwindling to 2, 5, 15 in many places. Even the churches in the large metropolitan areas, which due to the nature of where being where people gather to live and work, so more would be in the church, have lost great numbers. Why? Why? Many reasons, but the main thing boils down to what was in the days of Noah. The imaginations of man's heart is only evil continually. Evil continually. It's not new to us today. The Apostle Paul, writing to a minister named Timothy, know that in the last days that perilous times shall come. Brethren, we have been living in the last days since the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and finished the work that God the Father gave him to do. Churches dwindling, society, homosexual. I don't care who wants a warm and fuzzy and says, well, they're people too. Yes, they're people. Many of them God's people, I'm quite sure, carried away either in the flesh and the nature of it, or deception, or whatever the reason be. The main reason being our hearts are only evil continually. Without the grace of God, we'd all be in that shape. But I'm talking about the kingdom right now and the suffering and the things that cause it to be so. We're not to accept homosexuality. We're not to accept the murder of children. We're not to accept any of the things that are sin before God. Even though we are sinners by nature, God has quickened us, given us life, and caused us to come from those things, to be separate. That's what the word holy means, separate, sanctified, apart from. And that's how we are to strive to walk as sinners in this world. The last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. That love of self is manifested in the doctrines that man teaches. The doctrines that Satan teaches. I'm not talking about just about the devil's religion of Islam. I'm not talking about idolatry as Buddha, Confucius, evolution, Darwinism. But even amongst those that are Christians, carried astray by the original doctrine that caused Adam to fall, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt be as gods, because salvation is of the Lord, glory belongs to God and none else. And if you want the church to prosper, then that's what we need to preach, that salvation is of the grace of God, and worship God. But my point is this: know in the last days that perilous times shall come. They are here. The church is suffering. Numbers do dwindle. History records that happening before. We may have revival in a year. We may have revival after my death. I grew up in this church. I come here. I see five or six people every Sunday. I love you. I would not want to be anywhere else on Sunday morning but right here with these few saints of God that God has preserved and brings here. Well, I'm the youngest person here and I'm 58. What's going to be in 10 years? I do not know. I do not know. We live in perilous times. The imagination of man's heart is only evil continually. So what are we going to do? Are we going to lie down? Are we going to quit coming? Shall we doubt God? Shall we live in despair? Shall we live in fear? Rejoice, brethren, in the things that God hath preserved for us. Rejoice. What did Paul tell Timothy? After giving him the list of all the things that were coming in the latter days. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us of a great falling away. If we're not living in the great falling away, I don't want to be here when it comes. If we're not living in the latter times when men shall be so corrupt, then I don't want to see it. It sickens me in my heart to see it now. And if it's going to get a whole lot worse, I do not want to see it. But what are we going to do? What shall I do, the song says? Shall I lie down and sink in deep despair? What did Paul tell Timothy? Continue. Continue. Continue in the things which thou hast learned. And I believe he said, then being assured of whom thou hast learned them. Now Paul gives the example to Timothy of his grandmother who taught him the things of God, because she had faith, a fruit of the Spirit. God had given her life. She obeyed God. She taught these things. That's the role of a woman, to teach at home to the children. She did. Timothy followed those things. He continued in the things which he had learned. But who taught us? Who did the teaching of faith? God. God. God wrote it upon your heart. Continue in the things. No man can give life. God is the giver of life. That comes in regeneration. That comes in birth. God does that, period, at his time, period. The Son of Man quickeneth whom he will. Regeneration. Who does he quicken? Those the Father gave him. Regeneration. But then we teach, we continue in the things as we have learned. The ministry. Let me say this before I sit down. Let me say this. We had young men preaching yesterday morning. We had two that have been ordained recently. God bless them. Why do I bring that up here? Because, well, Philip preaching on generations yesterday afternoon put this in my mind. We have a continuance. Because no man taketh this unto himself unless he's called of God, as was Aaron, and those that are called of God are still coming forth to preach the gospel. That teaches me God still has a purpose. It may preach to a church of three, it may be to preach to a church of 300, but God is still calling ministers. Now let's turn to today with these older men who are older than I am, who I've grown up watching. God called them to preach the gospel. God called them to teach the gospel. I would admonish, I would exhort young men to remember those who came before them. Those who traveled from state to state on Saturday night because the trip was so far they couldn't make it one day because of their age. Who traveled from Alabama to Mississippi or from Georgia to Florida. Those men who stood called of God to do the work that God gave them, to preach the gospel to his children, to bring life and immortality to light, to glorify God, to glorify Christ, to give them edification, to give them instruction, to teach them how that God loves them, to glorify God. Those men who have been faithful, those men who have stood the test of time, I would admonish younger ministers coming up, if anyone listens to this, it's not about popularity. It's not about success. It's not about large churches, because most of these men that I've known that I'm talking about go from place to place serving churches of less than 20 people, many with less than 10. Yet every Saturday night or Sunday morning, in obedience and faithfulness to God, they'd go forth preaching, traveling hours at a time to preach to God's children, two or three. God has people. God loves his people. It may be two widows and two fatherless children, but God loves the widows and God loves the fatherless. It might be someone who is poor, who cannot afford to do much more than feed the preacher lunch before he leaves, but God loves the poor and God sends the gospel to them. What did Jesus tell the disciples of John? You go tell John the poor have the gospel preached to them. God does that. To these young men, I would say, follow. Follow the teaching of those who have stood the test of time before thee. Follow those. It's not about being popular. It's not about having a large church. It is about being faithful to God. Faithful to God. God sees tomorrow. We do good to see today. I've seen people that were in the church, and I shouldn't bring this up, and I'm not going to call names, but I had one a couple of little while back that was in the church at one time, and they moved somewhere else, and they moved somewhere else, and they moved somewhere else, and you see them here later, and you realize in their life that, Lord, we dodged that bullet by thy grace, because that would have been trouble in the church. God, I say that to make this point. God sees tomorrow. We don't. Have faith in God. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. Appreciate those men who have stood the test of time, walking in faithfulness to God. Pray for those young men that God is calling into the ministry today. We were blessed beyond measure by God's blessing with those men that preached yesterday. Young men, zealous about the gospel, zealous about God. Pray for them. And pray that they'll follow after the lead set by thy fathers. The church, yes, has been going through a difficult time of late. But remember what the Lord said to Israel. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Will not be consumed. God will not be left without witness. May God bless you.